business. Thank you, guys.
So how's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Ready to be here, right? Well, cool.
Ready to hear you guys.
Well, thank you. So I did want to just thank you for inviting us to be a part of your weekend or week. And so it's been an enjoyable time for us so far. Our grandsons are trying to kind of find their stride and their tribe. So thank you for all of you who have brought boys that are in that 10 to 13-year-old range. I appreciate that. And I also just want to thank you for all of you that are in this ministry. This is an awesome ministry. And I wish the world had more men like you that were leaders and loving other people and discipling others. And so I just want to affirm all of those. Some of you have been in this for many, many years. And I just want to say thank you for choosing to do that with your time and your resources to do that. Very awesome. So, a couple of other things I just wanted to mention. When we talked about all of our needs yesterday, have you been thinking about your needs?
I'm sure that's been the topic of discussion.
Well, a couple of things to help you in that. In case you wanted to use some date night tips, I have some, this is from the Relational Values website, and they have every single one of the top 10 needs, like for acceptance, and they have date night questions and things to stir conversations that might be appropriate for each one of the needs. So that's available for you to look at. And then also, for those of you that have children or grandchildren, they have the same sort of thing. They call it a table talk. So if you wanted to do this relational type of work with your family, there's some options for how to even do that within your own family. So just a couple of things that I wanted to bring about to talk about some as it related to those needs. So
you don't like a website?
There is a website, and it's at the bottom of it's relationalvalues.org. It's out of Austin. All right, so we're going to give you a marriage tip today before Ted gets started with our rest of our time together. And you should have a handout that says the best team meeting, staff meeting. So many of you men, I know, and women are in some kind of an organization where you have a staff meeting. Is that a true statement?
Yes.
So tell me, what do you do at a staff meeting? Yes, Jason.
You go over a calendar.
Go over a calendar.
Budget.
Intimacy.
Now wait, this is a work environment.
I was going to say, who do you work for?
Well, that is good to know that. But, okay. I like the first.
I'm in the adult film business.
You are?
Brian was cringing a little bit when you said this.
This is being recorded, Jason, so we're going to have to have some. All right. Anybody else been in a staff meeting in their life?
That doesn't include it.
Yes. Aaron.
Vision, culture,
vision.
Expectations.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So we would like to propose, what would it look like if you had a marriage team meeting or a marriage staff meeting? Now, Jason, that would be appropriate for you to have your conversation here.
It'd be the end.
Yeah.
So this is just an outline that could be one that you use for that. And so for Jason, you could begin with prayer. And then maybe you could express gratitude. Remember when we did the character qualities, when you turned to your spouse and you said something to them that was encouraging? Would that also be a good thing to do at a work staff meeting?
Yep.
What would it feel like if you started with telling each other how much you appreciate that? Does that set a different tone than, okay, here's the budget for the month and you've got to sell X number of whatever? And so this might even be something that you could include in a work environment. And just as a reminder, Ted and I, we work together. And so we're together all the time, literally all the time. And for us, it's a challenge because almost all of our conversations, even the ones we try not to talk about business, that just happens because you can't even say, well, we can't go on vacation because so-and-so is on vacation that week, so we'll have to... So we understand for those of you that are in business together that that can be a challenge. So, okay, so maybe you can express gratitude and instead, like you can say, I was blessed when you gave me a hug when you knew I was having a hard day or whatever, just that kind of conversation. And then the second thing talks about healing hurts. We're going to put that on pause because we're going to talk about that tomorrow. So you don't need to stress about that at this moment. And then on relational needs, how can I make you feel more loved? Do you have those kind of conversations in your everyday with your spouse? We don't so much, and that's why we're doing what we're doing for that. And then I have what I call a God shot. How has God been ministering to you? Like I felt God showing me something that Kevin talked about this week or whatever, that kind of thing. And then maybe also another part of a staff meeting might be, whose blessings can we celebrate? Whose needs can we meet? And then also a coordination of calendars, like Jason said. That's where... So for us, it was, this type of concept was really helpful because there would be times that there would be, let's say, discussions that would elevate. How is that for a saying we had some disagreement, we didn't both agree on something? And so how do you get those things resolved? They just kind of, you know, they're out there and yet you need to talk about them, but when do you talk about them? And a lot of times when we're in those discussions, we may be tired, we may be hungry, our mind may be on something else. And so that's why for us, this really became, for me, it felt like a safe place to be able to have some of these harder discussions because often the ways we would look at things would cause there to be more stress, and that would continue. We kind of got in that crazy cycle of, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to do this, and we never really addressed those issues. So having a marriage staff meeting is one way that has helped us, and we try to put it in our schedule, and typically for us, Sunday evenings work as a good time for us to be able to do that. And this is just some suggestions. You don't have to do all of those sorts of things, but I think that that might be, most of you are familiar with the term best practice. This might become something that could be a best practice in your relationship. And you could do this also and have family meetings and do the same sorts of things. So anyway, that's kind of an encouragement we have to help you begin to implement some of the things that you have learned this week.
I just insert one thing about this conversation. Is, guys, do you recognize the phone calls, the conversation, and then she goes, and when you get home, we need to talk. Am I the only one that ever heard that in the conversation? And so you kind of come home, well, like, I'm not sure if I want to come home. I'm not sure what I want to do. And so it's this anxiousness. And what we learned was at the staff meeting, that was the neutral time to bring up stuff. It's not a heat of moments, not during the argument. It was the safe place. You know, that's a good place to bring up things. You know, when you said this a couple days ago, or when the boy said this and you didn't do that about it, you know, 3 days ago, can I just tell you how that made me feel? And it was a whole lot easier to deal with that stuff then than in the heat of the moment. Is that making sense? So that was a big deal for us.
So, Jason, we would like to see your agendas for your staff meeting, so feel free to share that. Maybe next year you'll be up here talking and you'll be able to share that.
All right, are we ready to get started?
So, we're going into our second session. Thanks again for allowing me to share my story about my mom. And my encouragement to you is if you're one of those out there that's already dismissed it because of the hurt, I just ask you to pray about that. If you're one of those that both parents are gone and I don't know what to do with any of that, if you still have hurts, I still recommend writing something, do that therapeutic letter writing. If you're one of those that it felt like it's not relevant to you, then maybe pass the story to someone else who is, or even buy them a book and say, you know what, I know a little bit about your situation, and I think this might help you. So this can still be passed on if it's not relevant exactly to you. So, okay? So obviously your racial relational needs are going to be your importance and the power of what it looks like to meet that need. The assessment, remember we did that, you identified the top three needs. How many have gone to a kind of a week or a weekend, well typically during the week, maybe you've gone to a conference that's 2 or 3 days. Guys, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's attended a conference, right? So do you have that practice? A guy that I know that's a very successful builder in Oklahoma, and he said, you know, he would limit himself to say, after the whole week was over of note-taking and all the stuff that he captured, he wanted to take 2 things back to try to implement. So like, that's pretty conservative. But it forced him to identify the top 2 things. So I'm going to challenge you that when the weekend's over with what we share, that my challenge to you is, can you identify just 2 things that you think is worthy, relevant, and you see value in to bring back and actually implement in your marriage? Is that something, is that asking too much? 2 things. You can do that. Awesome. And that conversation you have, make sure you ask each other, okay, now that I know what that need is, and what's that look like for that to be met by you? That's really important. Especially if you have the same need, because you just assume you know how to do that. And we're going to keep going. So what happens when we meet needs? We feel loved. Obviously, we're really closer together. And again, this is not just marriage. This is all relationships. We know that when we meet needs, that creates aloneness. I talked a little bit about aloneness and what a kind of a deal that is. So I want to spend some time talking about this chart. Of all the material we present, this may be my favorite slide. So take a look, and I kind of live outside the box. When I was as an agent, we did some pretty crazy stuff that was always fun to do. And as a home builder, I love doing custom stuff that never seen details before. So I kind of, that's where I live. So I'm going to actually approach this slide backwards. So the conservative rule follower never does this, just to let you know. I'm going to go about it backwards. And hopefully you'll follow my logic. So these are relational needs, and the chart is the green is when needs are met and what that looks like and what happens when needs are met. That ultimately ends up at positive outcomes. Okay? And then what happens when needs go unmet are the painful outcomes. And so let me walk you through somebody, and let's just say this is not any of you, but let's say you know someone, and I'm going to start with the painful outcomes. So think of somebody in a relationship, it might be a coworker, maybe a sibling, and maybe your own dad that left home or whatever. But think of that the painful outcomes that was at the end was poor character, broken marriage, dysfunctional family, lack of joy. So think of that person and that you say, yeah, I know somebody like that. And could it be because there was unhealthy behaviors, such as abuse, addiction, critical thinking, pride, rebellious, and could that have been the result of negative feelings, being hurt, anger, guilt, condemnation? And could that negative feelings come from faulty thinking? Are you following me so far? Am I going too fast? So could that negative feelings be a result of faulty thinking? What's wrong with me? I'm on my own. My needs come first. I'll try harder. And could that have been a result of needs that had gone on? Those needs that, because now I'm being criticized, rejected, I'm disapproved, lost, all that. And then if we go back to the other side, again, positive outcomes, that you see a person that's got mature character, they've got a strong marriage, healthy family, they're just one of those people around them, they're like, hey, I just want to join their life. I want some of that. And where did that come from? Could that have come from healthy behaviors, whether compassionate or sacrificial, others focused, self-discipline? And could that have come from positive feelings of being loved, joyful, fruits of the Spirit, that was a result of healthy thinking, that I'm actually known, I'm loved, I matter, I can do it? Because those needs weren't met.
I'm going to let you process that. So here's the question. Where do you want to end up?
Green.
Yeah. So back to this mantra about these tools being not just marriage tools, but relational tools. This applies to any relationship you're in. And hopefully, and if you find yourself, you know, in maybe in some of the red stuff, then it's never too late to seek healing and try to turn yourself around. But these are so powerful in knowing what comes up. You know, I think there's more than one financial planner in the room, would just be my guess, knowing that there's always one in the room. I think I talked to a guy this morning, actually, about that. And they always say, when you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Is it something like that? See, I remember a little bit of that. And with these, this is just a great example. It's all about making choices. We know that we're wired. We know that God's given us certain needs. And then what do we do with that? And then as we have a mate that's a helpmate suitable for us, when I make choices to meet Yvonne's needs, then we're this way. When I choose not to meet her needs, then guess what? We're then stuck growing. And how many marriages, we've got one right now that some good friends been married 38 years, I think. And their divorce is going to be fine in a couple weeks. That we walked through most of their adult life, raised kids together, strong believer. And you just go, really? You want to grow home? You want to grow old alone? Sad. Horribly sad. You want to make any comments?
No, but I would just go to say, think about this, those of you that have children or grandchildren, the same sort of thing. What can you be doing to help meet those needs, let's say, of your children as well? Because we would like for our kids to be in the green too, right? So.
And grandkids.
Yes, and just any family members. And it's really, it may take an effort on our part to move in that direction. And even if we do meet those needs, there's not necessarily a guarantee that we're going to have that be positive at the end. I mean, we have two sons. We have one son that's walking with Jesus and loves Jesus, and we have one that isn't a part of his life. And so even though we work to meet his needs and ask God to direct us in that, I just do want you to know that there's no guarantee. We can't give you a little slip of paper that says you do this and this will automatically work. But as a general rule, we would encourage you to do this, and not only just like Ted mentioned with your spouse, with your children, with any other relationship you have. And I think I mentioned that we had our staff do this needs assessment. And so any of you that are on a team, that sort of thing, it'd be interesting to find out from your other team members what it is that their needs are. And so then you could begin to even see this being played out in a work environment as well.
So when needs are met, they experience fulfillment, love, sense of closeness. The opposite happens, and we feel frustration, irritated, angry, hurt, and we begin to grow apart. Relational needs cannot be met if our partner's unaware of them. If we're unwilling or feel inadequate to have to share our needs in a healthy way, it would be difficult for our spouse to even meet our needs. Needs do not go away simply by ignoring, suppressing, denying them. We will never outgrow our neediness. And I know a long time ago, I remember hearing kind of a statement that, and please don't take this wrong, I always preface this, and that is, all you need is God. Well, if that's the truth, then why did God look at Adam's aloneness and declaring the first time that something was not good?
So we know that he created man to be in relationship with others as well, and what role they play. So sometimes in the church, you can be very spiritual, saying, well, Jason, all your, after you've poured out your heart, what's going on and all, you just need God. And here's a Bible verse. There's time for that. But in a crisis or a time of real pain, that's not always real helpful to just to say, well, just meditate on this verse and you'll be fine. And not that that would ever happen in church, but obviously it does. So we're going to talk about another one of my favorite conversations is an emotional cup. And we happen to have a couple of cups up here, and I didn't realize they were similar. Does that mean our cups are about half full right now? So the analogy is the emotional cup. And so let's just pretend that we have a cup inside our heart. And what happens in life, well, let me ask you this. You think in life, you think more good things happen or more bad things happen? Good. Okay. All right. Well, I would say most people will say bad. I mean, we enter in life in you know, sin's part of our world. So when things happen in our world, they go into our emotional cup. What's the difference between a funnel and a cup? We got any engineers in the room that can tell me something about that?
Funnel drains out.
One drains, one doesn't. So what happens when things happen in our world? And even marriages, you know, we know a fair amount of people that came into a marriage and what they didn't know is how much emotional pain was in, you know, the spouse's cup even before they even got married. Family of origin issues, abuse, alcoholism, all the stuff that's kind of happened. And so you're stepping into this marriage thinking this, you're going to be complete, and what the other person doesn't realize is how much turmoil is in your cup and how little capacity you have in there. So when any additional little things happen, then what comes out is the spewing, which is shown over here as far as loss. So let me kind of walk you through it real quick. So at the very, very bottom of the cup, as it fills up, the things that are good, because it starts to fill, they fall out. And what remains is these things: condemnation, guilt, fear, anger, resentment. But the very, very bottom of the cup is the thing called hurt. When I started, first presented this, I was pretty intrigued by it. And I realized that as I closed my eyes, I thought of a guy that was actually that worked in my office. He was the guy that handed out equipment. And so if you had to get a camera, if you had to get whatever kind of technology you needed, you had to go to Dick. And nobody wanted to go to Dick because Dick was not a happy person. And so as you got to be a little senior agent, guess who you would send down there? You'd send a new guy. Okay, you're going to go down and get the camera from Dick. And so he'd come back and he goes, who is that guy? And so it wasn't until this I went, oh my gosh, Dick has a very full emotional cup. Then as a believer, I had a unique thought. It was, what can I do to actually put some good stuff in this cup? So I went down there one time and I said, Dick. He said, yeah. I said, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? He gives me this look. I said, how about, can I take you to lunch? I mean, and I just realized, I bet you, of 100 plus agents in our divisional office, nobody bothered to take Dick to lunch. Because if you remember my saying earlier, I was more focused on his fallenness than his aloneness. And made me wonder what's going on in his world that is evident from a full emotional cup. And so it's very interesting to me, this dynamic, and I would challenge you that, well, in any time in our relationship, am I the only one that she just says one thing and all of a sudden I just kind of blow up at her? Is that, am I the only one that's ever?
You're the only one.
Thank you for that encouragement. And you kind of wonder where that comes from? It's called from hurt that's built up in your emotional cup. We have the good thing about that. That's going to be tomorrow that we're going to talk about how to get rid of that. So you're going to have to come back tomorrow. But
this whole concept of what's where hurt goes, it is there. And so that's any relationship. So if it's in a coworker, sibling, parent, any relationship where you're seeing kind of that person that's you really don't want to be around because of the way they spew, then hopefully this insight will work in your heart like it starts to mine as I start to have empathy and think about what's going on in the world that's caused that. Can you share a little story about Heath and what we saw?
So with one of our sons, he was a little more challenging for us to get to parent. He taught us a lot. I'll just leave it at that. And one occasion, we had a time where he wasn't really kind to his brother and trying to figure all of that out. And as we began to understand and think about needs as it related to our kids and some of the behaviors we were seeing, it made us think, well, maybe there is something else going on in his world that we're not aware of or we're not realizing, and that may be contributing to his behavior. And so kind of looked back and was thinking that, and I don't know if you have kids that are the same age, but the younger brother got invited to a birthday party for a friend, but he didn't get invited to the birthday party. Now, when you're in that 5 and 6 year old, that's a big deal in their world. And so it made us kind of rethink. So instead of just punishing him for his behavior, looking at his fallenness, trying to refocus and think, well, what about his aloneness? And maybe in this specific situation, that contributed to that. And I realize a 5 and 6 year old boy is not thinking all those sorts of things. But as a parent, it got us to thinking about how do we then need to, could come in and minister to him in a way that would make him feel loved and accepted. So that's kind of a little side note as we were beginning to get into this.
But this, it takes a while to process this kind of stuff, because my role, Dad, you can identify this, and I said, well, we need to do this, and we need that, you know, because of his behavior, I was applying discipline for behavior and very willing to do so. But then Yvonne said, kind of intuitively, most moms are there saying, well, maybe there's something going on. And then we started to look at that, and we really started having a different thought about that. You know? So it was very, very interesting as we realized that. So instead of dealing with behavior, I then went to him and said, how about on Saturday? He's a car guy from a young age. I said, well, it's not local cars. He said, are we going to buy new cars? I said, no, but we buy what? So took, you know, we went out and spent most of the day, grabbed lunch, and looked at a bunch of different cars. And we had them all together. His attitude was 100% different at the end of the day. The whole, you know, frustration of my brother was totally gone, because we identified a need, we met his need for attention, entered his world, and the whole thing was just easy to move on to something else. Is that so this is just another version of what happens when needs are not met. When needs are met, they bring bring painful emotions, decrease capacity for positive emotion. The good news is when we apply them on the right end, our emotional cup can be full. When we went through this material, I think we shared that we were dated for 8 years before we got married. We were married for 13 years when we went through this material. And so guess what? We had some stuff in our emotional cup. And so the good thing is, once you go through this exercise of actually identifying what's in your cup and walk through an area of confession and forgiveness, then the cup can get emptied. And guess what? There's more room to handle life. But if you've never handled, if you've never dealt with issues, a good friend of mine's brother, who was actually a part-time pastor, very spiritual, they divorced after 21 years, and so I took him to lunch. I'm like, what's up with that? He said, Ted, he says, in 21 years, we never were able to resolve conflict. We just both said, it's not that big a deal, let's move on. So it's a prime example of what happens. Sooner or later, emotions are going to deal with you if you don't deal with them. Comments?
we're going to give you time to talk to each other. So the question being, what might some symptoms be of your emotional cup, if you have a full emotional cup? So that might be things like there could be escaping behaviors. It could be anger, loss of energy, loss of positive emotion, that sort of a thing. And in our situation, when we have our discussions that we can't seem to resolve, and we may be both of us feeling like we have a full emotional cup, Ted will
escape. Am I the only escaper in the room? You're removing my loneliness, just to let you know.
And so?
So typically I would go clean the garage. That'd be my reason. So do you know who actually liked it when I escaped? She got a clean garage out of Liam.
But that, as we were beginning to walk through this and just having those conversations, it helped us identify that. And so we began to at least have a conversation that says, maybe that's what's going on, and trying to have, just talking about it now, you're not in the middle, hopefully, of an argument right this moment, but having a conversation now and allowing your spouse to hear from you what you might be experiencing if you do have a full emotional cup.
And I just want to add on to that. So when I would escape, I needed time to process. Yvonne came from a very strong believing household, has that verse memorized, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Anybody heard that verse? And so in her world, we had to resolve it. And she, in her world, has to resolve before we go to bed. And I felt the pressure of, I need time to really process what's going on in my mind in order to work through it. And so that was a big deal for us to finally get to the end, to the finally where she was able to give me time to process so we could talk about it and resolve it. So just to share that, if you've ever run into that as a couple, you might extend a little bit of grace. Now, that doesn't mean you get 2 weeks out of the deal. It means a couple days, and settle down, work through it, say, okay, now I'm ready to process and think about that.
So in some cases, the emotional cup may be filled with things that are from your childhood, maybe from a previous relationships. It could be things that are happening right now. But I would like for you to be brave and turn to the person that you're here with and just have a conversation. And some of this may be like, I don't even have a clue of what they're talking about up here. And that's okay too. You can be vulnerable and say that and just say, can you help me think through that? Okay.
So I have a question about
yes.
cup.
Yes.
When you say full emotional cup, I'm taking it as a negative full emotional cup, or the negative things in your emotional cup that need to be addressed. Because you can have some positive stuff, right, in your cup. You want a good full emotional cup.
Absolutely. I think what for me, even though there's some, and in that slide, it showed that the good stuff ended up coming on top, because the hurt stays in the bottom. And so as more stuff comes in, if you think of any cup, if you can put a color on it, that green on top, you add more to it, where does it go? It comes out, and it's then gone. And then so you end up with more negative than you do positive. Does that make sense?
Can we go back to the slide?
Sure. We will try to do that.
We're
going to
check technology.
That one? Yeah.
Can I leave that up while we talk?
Yes. Yes, I will.
So up top where it's showing is what's coming out of that, which is because of the stuff that's in there, there's some positive emotions is on top, and then right below that is the other stuff. And if you think of it, a weight issue in water, right, as it's heavier, it's just hard to get out. And so the condemnation, the shame, this friend of mine, this parents are talking about, he's been struggling with pornography for years, carries an unbelievable amount of shame in his life. The guilt of doing things, you know, as believers, what do we have inside of us as believers? Holy Spirit. What's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit? Conviction. So when I would hurt you on and I would get away, part of what I'm processing and thinking about also it is a time to process what I did, why I was upset, why I didn't need to do that. And part of that was just brought to me through the conviction of the Holy Spirit while I'm cleaning my garage. Does that kind of answer some things? Is that kind of more clear? And then the other thing is that is just what happens of compulsion behavior. And unfortunately, here's a big thing that still happens, is guess what happens to the fruits of the Spirit, or you're exhibiting those fruits of the Spirit, is you lose those as far as being able to exhibit. Right? I mean, we know as a believer we've got those fruits, but how often are we exhibiting? Well, when I'm yelling or angry or whatever, slamming doors or whatever, do you think I'm exhibiting fruits of the Spirit? No. And unfortunately, when you're a parent and you're doing that in front of your kids, what are you modeling to your children?
Not
fruits of the Spirit. Right. I think the biggest thing I just wanted to have you think through is the buildup over time. That's the warning sign. And so until you get to a point in your relationship where you can heal hurts through confession and forgiveness, then the stuff stays in your cup. And at some point in time, you're going to have to deal with it. When I was putting people in jail, I had realized after, it's a long story, I promise to make it brief. I'm getting that look, that's too long a story. But I realized I was walking out of this prison, and this whole prison is full of guys, mainly men, who have full emotional cups. And got them there because of the choices that they made. Now, those are not excuses for the choices they made, but they made some really bad choices, which is why society put them in there. And unfortunately, those are a lot of things where their needs were not met, they made poor choices, but all of that was because they didn't know what to do with it. And so they acting out and resulted in this. So.
Okay, we'll give you about 3 minutes to start a conversation. This is not to be the final conversation. This is the start of a conversation.
Okay. Yes?
These slides are phenomenal. Can you share them with somebody to recirculate?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you've got 3 minutes. It's pretty much.
So let's take advantage of this. So
well, we can debrief it and just say. Did you learn anything new about your spouse?
Do you type a small one?
I don't think so. I was thinking more of the, slide. We could just start talking. We'll need a slide for what I was going to say is we need to think about, because you've already mentioned challenges we have. So we could do the one on the couch. I'm feeling this way. And then, Well, I can try to allow some people that says, okay, when you see that emotional cup, is there something in your relationship that you instantly want to make?
I don't know, but I would just ask them, what do they think of this concept? Is this...
Well, where I was going to go with that is, what would it look like for you to be thinking about how you have universally found some good stuff in relationships?
Come along. Well, if you say it in a way that sounds...
That's the thing. That's what I...
Might God be bringing to your mind somewhere, you know, has a full relationship. Because it says at the bottom, it's... You have to grieve the hurt and receive comfort and care. So I haven't looked, so it's 11:05. So we're going to just see. Do you need to ask a question?
Whatever you want.
So we're hearing lots of good conversation. Don't really want to slow that down, but we also need to continue. So talk to me about that. Was that like the most fun thing you've ever done? Yes? Maybe not? That's a hard conversation to have, because kind of causes you to do a little introspective look at yourself and decide what God might be doing in that. So does anybody have anything they want to tell the group as far as just how that whole exercise felt? You don't have to say what your specific thing is, but just any feedback?
Is this a new concept? Is this something you kind of heard before? Yes.
So we did this a few years ago, the emotional cup exercise, and for us being young married people, it's been a really useful skill. But what we were kind of talking about is I didn't quite realize how full my emotional cup had been recently, and just seeing those up on the screen, it's like, oh, yep, yeah, okay, yeah, and just getting down to like the root of why. And so we have these skills that we use with each other, so I feel like we're doing a pretty good job of not adding to each other's emotional cup, but there are external forces that are adding to that cup. And I feel like the thing that's been missing is, you know, going to God for forgiveness, comfort, faith, all of those, because we can affirm that in each other until the cows come home, but it just feels like there's been this pressure from God, like, hey, like, your cup is full, come to me about it, and I'm like, no! So, just kind of coming to terms with that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's so critical in this whole conversation. Is yes?
I need to ask, yes, we have emotional needs, but our husbands and our spouses cannot meet all our needs. Don't you think it's up to us also to go find someone else to meet those? I'm not talking about romantic
ways. Well, obviously there are certain needs that should only be met by our spouses, and then there are, I would definitely say so. I would encourage you to be a need meeting person, and vice versa. Find out from your friends what their needs are and choose to go meet those. So, no, good question.
So, if there's anybody you're in a relationship with that immediately went, oh, that's George. he spews all the time, or he's going on. So my challenge to you is be in prayer about how God might use you to actually put some good stuff in George's cup. Hopefully there's no George out here, sorry. But, I mean, that really is something, I think, how God can use us. Because I guarantee, because I grew up with a mom kind of like that. So it adds to aloneness because everybody else is kind of backing up and getting away. So how God can use you to actually put some good stuff in their emotional cup. So that would be my recommendation, hope, that God would put that on your heart. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Are we going to have a session on how to do that?
Would you like that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, that's so good.
Because, I mean, we were kind of talking about this, and it's easy to identify. I mean, I'm escape.
Yeah.
This is more like anger, criticism. Well, then it's like, okay, so what do we do with that in the midst of it? And we talked about a situation we had recently, and it's like, okay, well, you did that good, and you didn't do that so good. You know, so how in the moment, I think, is a great session. And when he's angry, it's good that I escape and I'm quiet is kind of my escape. It's good. But I'm still not filling his... I mean, obviously, I agree. It's God's role, and that's where he needs to go. But I can get in the way, or I can maybe help him in filling that cup up. So I think that'd be a good...
We're going to touch some on that tomorrow, so give you some tools to do that.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, question.
Yes, sir.
So if I understood, this was emotions that we have from childhood, correct?
It could be. It might not be just childhood. It could be other. There could. I mean, some of us have had some severe emotional things happen to us, had a lot of emotional pain, even as an adult.
So what I was thinking here, we chose to do it from our childhood.
Okay.
Okay. And then my next question was, I think I know the answer. I think it would be very, to me, we have very separate, because we've been together since we're teenagers. So it's childhood and then our life together. So we just did it for ourselves. I think it as our young life and then as adults, doing two separate things. I didn't realize it played a big role the family of origin plays in learning that over the last year. You're just emphasizing that.
Can you repeat that question?
So Mark was saying that when he and Justine were having a conversation that they were looking at it more at their childhood. And he was asking about, so is it mostly just childhood hurts? And I said, yes, it can be certainly that, but there can be a lot of other emotional pain that we go through as an adult. And so he was just making the comment that they focus their time on more of their childhood type of.
When you think of the cub, it doesn't care where it comes from, right? So whether it was your way your parents had responded to you or cut you out of the will or dynamics within your family, I mean, it really doesn't matter of where it comes from. The point is, it's in your cup, and at some point in time, you're going to have to deal with it. And when you don't, you're going to see the symptoms.
Let me make a comment on that.
Yeah.
I think we understand the emotion we create with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We learned this at a church program. We didn't know about the family of origin. That was new.
Okay.
So we weren't.
What do you do with that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we had to dig back and didn't know those feelings lasted so long.
Yeah.
Made such a thumbprint on
this same material. In fact, Gary and I were just talking about it, and I know we need to wrap up. There's a process called a genogram, and it's looking at family of origin issues. And for me, it's probably been one of the most powerful things I've been involved in. So there are some ways of ministering to that, of people that have a lot of family of origin stuff. It's never been healed, it's just been stopped. So anyway, thank you all. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Hey, real quick, guys, help me do something. Speaking of needs, for affirmation and acknowledgement, today is actually Ted's birthday. So, he's choosing to spend his birthday to share some of this godly wisdom with us. So, why don't we give back a little bit and let's just sing happy birthday for him real quick. Is that all right, Ted?
Sure.
All right. Let's go. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ted. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Ted.
That's my name of appreciation.
Perfect. Well, we do appreciate you. Thank you, Ted, very much. So, okay, we're going to take about a 5-minute break here and grab some coffee, hit the restrooms, and then let's come on back because we got Kevin picking back up where he was from yesterday.
Hey, thank you so much. Hey, I know.
Perfect. Got it. Yeah.
Do we need batteries? Oh, it's good.